The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let's say good morning to our neighbors to the left and to the right. Okay, so this morning, as you know, we are looking at how the world really works. How the world works. So, that title was gotten from the person I referred to as my rabbi. You know, he has a show that it's called How the World Really Works, you know. However, what we are looking at today is from the Word of God strictly and explaining, you know, the concepts that many times in engagement with life, you see that sometimes it's as though people really don't know how the world works. And if we knew how the world really works, we can make the best of the opportunities God has placed in front of us. So the question I want to start with, I want to keep at the back of your mind is there a conflict between science and miracles? Is there a conflict between science and miracles? So let that question be like at the back of your mind as we go through this teaching, you know, and this series, really. And then I'm sure the answers will begin to surface. The answers will begin to surface. People have said to me several times, Pastor, Leno, can't we have GWDIA every week? You know, if we have GWDIA every week, that would be amazing. The church would be full, the church would be so big, you know, and on and on and on. And they saw that I was not, I was reluctant. They were like, okay, fine. Let's have it every month. If we have GWDIA every month, that would be amazing. You know, and I smiled and I explained to them that, listen, Jesus healed, preached, and taught. The Bible says that he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. Those were the three main things he did. And why would Jesus spend his time teaching? In fact, most of his time was spent teaching and preaching. Of course, healing was going on. Why would he do that? Because he knows how the world really works. As you're going to see, that God wants you to be a ruler. In fact, God has created you to be a ruler. One of the values of services like GWDIA, and if you're new in God's Favorite House, you're like, what's he talking about? What's GWDIA? What's God Within Service? The God Within Again service is a breakthrough service that, you know, we have, and we spend some time in preparation, and, you know, God does amazing things, you know, miraculously in our midst. However, just like the children of Israel, many people just want to see the acts of God, the miracles of God. Whereas God wants you to know the ways of God. The miracles of God are fantastic. That will give us a sign that we are children of God. God is with us. Okay, fine. Now, beyond that, God wants you to be a miracle worker. Now, how can you become a miracle worker when you don't know how the world works? When you don't know how spiritual things operate? How can you be a miracle worker? And it is more important in the scheme of things that you grow up and you mature. And that's why we'll spend all the time teaching and preaching. so that you can be an epitome of God renewed again in your homes, at your life groups, in your businesses, in your career, the marketplace. Psalm 115 verse 16 says to us, Psalm 115 verse 16, it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he had given to the children of men. The heaven, even the heavens, they belong to God. It says, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So who is in charge of the earth? You and I. God wants us to operate as rulers. He wants us to be in charge. There are too many people whose lives are just like a chaos. And it's a chaos because, oh, if I knew, this wouldn't have happened. Oh, this happened. It's as though they are victims of circumstances. Meanwhile, God wants you to be creators of circumstances. God wants you to happen to circumstance. God doesn't want circumstances to happen to you. Praise the name of the Lord. And it is so powerful. If you understand this thing, your life will change. It is so, so huge. Believe me. It is so simple, so powerful. Joshua 1:8. God was saying to Joshua that, yes, I'm the God of Israel. I'm the one that was with Moses. But this book of the law will not depart from your mouth day and night. In other words, you should be immersed in this book. Now, he now goes on to say, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, who is responsible to making your way prosperous? It's you. You. There are certain things you know. There are certain things you do. There are certain operations you engage that you will make your way prosperous. And you stop looking for miracles. In fact, you begin to work miracles. You stop. You see, the problem with the church, and by the church, I don't mean God's Favorite House locally, I mean Christendom, is the fact that we have too many babies crying for milk. Nya, feed me, give me milk. Too many. And guess what? The cunning people that know that are taking advantage of it. They don't care. They're taking maximum advantage of it. So people would rather be typing amen, amen, amen on their keyboard rather than engage with God, know God's ways, know how things work. Know that if it is going to be, it is up to me. If it's going to be, it is up to you. Then going with God and making the change. It says, then you will make your ways prosperous. Then you will have good success. You are responsible for your success. It says, oh, Pastor, how is that? I thought God is the one that will bless me. Yes, and God is saying to you, I am blessed you, and I'm showing you how to go out there and be prosperous. I mean, the scripture that we've read several times, it says that God was saying to the children of Israel that none will be poor in the land. You all will be wealthy. He said that in, I think, the earlier verses. In the later verses, he said, but there will always be poor in the land. You know, why would there be such contradiction in one chapter? It's simple. God says that there will be no poor in the land because that's his intention. That's his intention. However, he knows that people just don't want to follow God. They want to do things upside down and go and get somebody to anoint them for miracles. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. God wants you to understand how it really works. And you see, many times, when we live like that, we open ourselves to become vulnerable to charlatans. We become vulnerable to wolves. And God is probably just looking at you and shaking his head. I'm like, what's going on here? You get up and control the situation. You know, the fusion of the priesthood and kingship of the believer sometimes is a challenge. The fusion of the kingship and the priesthood of the believer. If we understand that we are a chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. We are a royal priesthood. Royalty talks about your kingship. The priesthood is pretty explicit. It talks about you being a priest. You are a royal, a king, priesthood, and a priest. Now, the operations of the king and the priest is quite different, but they need to work together. The king rules by decree. Kings rule by decree. Kings enter situations and say, this is how it is going to be, and that's how it's going to be. Priests rule by sacrifices, by routines, by incense offering, you know, altar management, by servicing consistently. That's how priests rule. And the power available through the priesthood is executed through the kingship. So for you as a believer, you need to have your priesthood going. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's your what? Your what? Your priesthood is a part of your priesthood. Day and night. Day and night. For then you will make your way prosperous, your kingship, and have good success. So you can now go and make a difference in your life, in your world, in your family, in your businesses. When we understand that we are not to neglect our priesthood so that we can operate our kingship, we become powerful. So, you cannot outsource your priesthood. You know, that's another thing. Neither can you outsource your kingship. God wants you to operate on those levels. That's how the world really works. And when you are able to push past these limitations, you begin to operate as rulers on earth, as God intends for it to be. So is there a contradiction between signs and miracles? Is there? I can even make bold to say, or we can make bold to say, that scientific advancement are a result of prayer and intercession. Globally, scientific advancement are a result of prayer and intercession. If you check historically, through major scientific advancement, there's usually a major plague or a major challenge, and then people are praying and praying, and boom, the breakthrough comes, or the access to the scientific advancement happened. Historically, if you pay attention and connect the dots, that is what has happened. And if you understand that, you begin to see that there's actually no contradiction. There's no contradiction. In fact, the brightest scientists will tell you that there's an intelligent designer. The ones that know God will admit that it's Christ. The ones that don't know God, but they are smart, they will say, there's an intelligent designer. I don't know if it's who is claiming it or who is truthful about the claim. But there is one. But we know that is God. That is God. Because things don't happen. And they don't become available except they are graced. Things don't happen. Things don't become available except it's graced. For something to be available, it must be graced. Let me give you an example. We know, for some, those of us that are parents, or even when we're growing up, it's the classic picture of the teenage boy or the teenage girl that says to the mom or to the dad, can you leave my room, please? I want some privacy. Or can you shut my door? I've told you, dad, you have to keep shutting my door. Don't leave my door open. And, you know, and the dad, because dads are humble, the dad will just smile. Children, I've seen children, I've heard of children that have told their parent to, please leave my room now. Please leave my room. Literally walking their parents out of the room. Now, the question is, that child doesn't pay rent. That child doesn't pay rent. In fact, people have said, this is my father's house. You can go to your own father's house. You know, when they make that statement, they are beginning to get it a little bit, which is, this guy is living rent-free. Is eating free food? Is drinking free water? Even the air is free because it's air conditioned. Somebody paid for it. That is why daddies and mommies have to be, you know, God had to put that clause there. You have to honor your father and your mother. You have to honor your father and mother. You are under their roof. You're under their roof. So the fact that you have a roof over your head and it's free doesn't mean that someone didn't pay for it. Somebody paid for it. Things don't become available until they are paid for, until someone, except someone pays for it. Someone pays for it, paid for it. The same thing with our salvation. It's free as you know it. If you come to Jesus and you accept him, he accepts you. You don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to go and bring a chicken. You don't have to go and bring a goat. You don't have to go and bring a tortoise. It is free. It is free. However, Jesus paid for it with his blood. He paid for it with his blood. And now, to explain this, and so that we can begin to engage and get what is ours, there's this diagram that's coming up now. There are things that are available in God. There are things that are available to men. That is, they've been released from being available to God and they're available to men. There are things that are available in God that are not available to men. But there are things available in God, but they're available to men. But guess what? There are things that are available to men and there are things that are delivered to men. So there are things that are available to men that are not delivered to men. There are things that are available in Christ, in heavenly places, but they're not delivered to believers. They're not delivered to men. They're not delivered to men. So there are things that are available in God, and those things have to be available to men before they can be delivered to men. When things are available in God, what makes things available in God is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He that gave his son, shall he not through him give us all things? Available in God. But the things that are available in God are only made available to men by prayer. And we need to understand this connection. There are things that have been available in God for you, but we need to make them available to you, to men, you and I, by prayer. And that's why we have to pray. Then there are things you have prayed for that have been available to you by prayer, but have not been delivered. They've not been delivered yet. Let's say that. They've not been delivered yet. So there are things that are available to men that are not delivered to men. And that is where people are confused, you know, because they know this is available in God. They've seen it in the Word. They've seen it in other people's lives. They've heard testimonies. They've seen manifestations and stuff. But it hasn't been delivered. Now, the things that are available in God are only made available to men by prayer. Everyone say prayer. By prayer. Now, there are things that are available to men, but they are not delivered to men. They are only delivered to men by innovation. Everyone say innovation. Next week, we're going to unpack that a little bit more. So, by innovation, if you get this, you are many times, many of the things that we want to birth by prayer are waiting to be birthed by innovation. Many of the things that we are waiting to give birth to by prayer, they are waiting for us to take hold of them by innovation. So that's why some people are so frustrated. That's why people, you know, again, I love prayer. By God's grace, I'm a man of prayer. I was raised and incubated in prayer. We have prayer meetings consistently in church. We have vigils every day. I know where prayer fits in the equation. If you don't understand it, many people don't have things delivered, but they are running to prayer meetings. Listen, if you take, for instance, if you went through the GWDIA season, man, I wanted to say damn, but I can't say damn. Because I'm preaching, I mean, I have to say, man. The things that are waiting for you already in the availability cloud. When you leave such as, you should step into your world with your mind working and taking hold of those things. I kid you not, the things that are made available in one GWDIA that are made available in your cloud, most people cannot even take delivery of them in 10 years. Because those sessions are intense. Oh, if only you could see what God does. But guess what? We have two or three of such in a year. So it is a misnomer to leave such a service, then after that you are going for No. It is lack of understanding. If you understood the things that have been loaded for you in your cloud, you'll be pregnant with how to bring these things to pass by innovation. The things, how do I take hold of it? And listen, many things, I say it again, we want to bring to pass by prayer are already waiting for us, and they're waiting to be birthed by innovation. Similarly, if you check, the people that are making the scientific discoveries, they are not the people that are making it available by prayer. We have intercessors that are praying. I've prayed for humanity. I've prayed. Then God has released the cure for cancer. The Christian is still praying. Meanwhile, the scientist is laboring in innovation. And because innovative labor always lead to abundance, which is why people are confused. This person is a Christian. Oh, he's a billionaire. This person, because they are laboring in innovation, they are getting access to things that Christians have made available by prayer. And they will not do what they need to do to access them by innovation. There are things that are available by prayer. People have prayed for, but they are just there. Science, innovation, enterprise, engagements, connects. Listen, everyone, if they are honest, it was an idea. Every scientific discovery, it was an idea. In fact, the process it becomes a theorem. Then the theorem has to be proven. Where did this start from? The idea. Every vaccine, every drug, it was an idea. The wealthiest man in the world today would be Elon Musk, maybe. Tesla, electric car, it was an idea. It was not even an original idea. Did you know that in the cycle of innovation of automobiles, the electric car was first discovered before the internal combustion engine? Did you know that? You think electric car just came? No! Think about when we were children. When we used to make cars, which kind of cars did we make? They were electric. We would put batteries, we would put wheels, we would put a pulley, and we would form a pulley system and a gear system, and boom, our car is moving. It's an electric car. It was an idea that I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Nobody was accessing it. Nobody. This guy paid the price to access it. He's the wealthiest man on earth. Yet there are people that will beef him, there are people that will abuse him, they will call him this, call him that. It's okay. If the guy gave everyone in the world $1 billion each, how much is that? That's how much? Or $1 million each, how much is that? To him, nothing. But guess what? Guess what? He accessed what was available. And he did not access it in prayer meetings. He did not access it in prayer meetings. He accessed it by enterprise, by putting his back to work, by engaging innovation. That's how it works. That's why you also notice that people that have parents that are Christians, a lot of things have been made available to them by prayer. That's why they finish school, they just get a job, they get promoted, things are pam, 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 pam. Why? Things are available to them because it has been made available to by prayer. But most of them are more entrepreneurial, they are more business-minded, they are more, and they are doing so well. And many of them are forgetting their prayer roots, right? So they are going to give birth to a generation that will struggle. That's the cycle of life, unfortunately. So we see that the God of heaven has made everything available to us. We need to know and embrace how it really, really works. So if you are here, you're like, Pastor, pray with me. I want to even come into relationship with God. I want to be able to access the things that are available in God so that I can make them available to me before I can even engage them by innovation. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to pray with you. Or if you're saying, Pastor, I used to have a relationship with God, but my relationship with God is kamsa-kamsa. I want to renew my walk with God. If you're in any of those two categories, we want to pray with you. Our pastors are going to come up now. We're going to pray with you.
Father, we are just so grateful. We thank you and thank you, and thank you once again for this word that we have heard again today. Lord, we appreciate you. Thank you for how you have always spoken to us. We pray, Lord, for your children that are committing to you, that this decision they are making today will be a permanent one in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will sustain them in this decision. Your word says no one comes to the Father except the Father draws him near. These ones, Lord, draw near to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. And we pray for everyone that has heard this word. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus, the wisdom, the grace to be able to apply this into our lives, give to us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let our lives be better and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.